Program for and about people with disabilities. It's about social justice, community supports, inclusion, accessibility, freedom, and choice. My name is Vicki Nicewander, and I'm the host of this program and also the parent of a fantastic young woman with a disability.
The views and opinions expressed here are those of the speakers and do not necessarily represent those of WEFT, its board of directors, associate station manager, or Prairie Air Incorporated.
You are listening to WEFT Champaign. I'm Vicki Nicewander. Stay tuned for an interview with David Northern, Executive Director of the Housing Authority of Champaign County. But first, disability news for the week of November 19th, 2018. A proposed settlement in a 25-year-old class action lawsuit filed by Disability Rights Ohio against the Ohio Department of Education is expected to improve educational support and academic achievement for more than 250,000 students with disabilities across the state. The agreement announced earlier this month, but subject to federal court approval, will give the state's Department of Education 1 year to develop a plan to improve student literacy, test scores, graduation rates, and other performance measures. It also requires greater inclusion of children with disabilities in regular classrooms in 11 of Ohio's large urban school districts, which currently have the poorest academic results for students with disabilities and the highest rates of segregating such children. Under the agreement, the state must provide additional support to students and professional development and technical assistance to teachers. The proposal does not project how much the plan will cost. Said Karen Joburg, Assistant Executive Director of Disability Rights Ohio, quote, "This settlement will create a court-enforceable plan that should open many doors of opportunity for students with disabilities who are currently shut out of a quality education in Ohio," end quote. Ira Burnham, legal director at the Judge Bazelon Center for Mental Health Law, called the agreement groundbreaking. Burnham said, quote, "Ohio will roll up its sleeves and do the work required to help kids with disabilities learn. We hope this agreement sets a precedent and provides a model for improving student achievement nationwide," end quote. The agreement, signed by two advocacy groups and State Superintendent Paolo DeMaria, will be submitted to U.S. District Court Judge Michael Watson after the parties reach agreement on payment of the plaintiff's attorney's fees. Education officials said the agreement aligns with the state's strategic plan for education, Each Child, Our Future. According to Ohio Department of Education spokeswoman Brittany Halpin, quote, "Students with disabilities can be successful if we commit ourselves to understanding their needs and creating learning opportunities based around them. There's good work happening in Ohio schools, and we're excited to partner with educators, parents, community members, and others to share best practices and get better in the interest of our students. Their future depends on us," end quote. Legislation establishing first ever federal oversight of restraint and seclusion in the nation's schools is back on the table. Democrats in Congress introduced a bill known as the Keeping All Students Safe Act this week. That measure would bar seclusion at any school receiving federal tax dollars and significantly limit the use of restraint to situations where the safety of students and teachers is at risk. According to U.S. Senator Chris Murphy of Connecticut, a sponsor of the legislation, quote, "It's barbaric for schools to confine students alone in locked rooms or to use abusive methods to restrain little children. Treating school kids this way should not be tolerated in America, period. Our bill would establish strong federal standards to keep students safe while giving school staff alternatives to respond to challenging situations in the right way," end quote. The move comes little more than a week after Democrats secured control of the House of Representatives in the coming legislative session and signals that they will use their new majority status in the body to press for the legislation. Data released earlier this year by the Department of Education indicates that 122,000 students were subject to restraint or seclusion in the nation's schools during the 2015-16 academic year. Children with disabilities accounted for 71% of those restrained and 66% of seclusion cases. At present, rules governing the practices vary significantly from one state to the next. Legislation to create federal standards on the use of restraint and seclusion in schools passed the House in 2010, but failed to secure support in the Senate. The latest bill was introduced this week in the House by Representatives Don Beyer of Virginia and Bobby Scott, the top Democrat on the House Education Committee. A Senate version of the bill was introduced by Murphy and Senator Patty Murray of Washington, the lead Democrat on the Senate Education Committee. And finally, research released by the Australian Institute of Health Innovation at Macquarie University shows that almost half of people with disability living in residential care were exposed to risk of death or died related to failures in information sharing and communication. The study showed that information that could affect the quality of care for people with disability was being overlooked, ignored, or was not accessible to care providers. Lead author and fellow research fellow at the Australian Institute of Health Innovation, Dr. Mary Dalm, said, quote, "Important health information is being overlooked or lost in a system that does not communicate well across different services and does not include the individual patient or their families in health decisions," end quote. For instance, this research found that some people who died of aspiration pneumonia, a condition caused by inhaling food, stomach acid, or saliva into their lungs, had safe foods recommended for them by a speech pathologist and written into a meal time plan, but this was not adopted by the disability service provider. The study also found that a person could have an accident such as choking, but no incident report was made, which would have alerted staff to act to prevent further choking. One of the barriers to good communication of safety and care information was that direct support workers had little or no experience of healthcare and did not understand the importance of information in the client's records. These findings trigger a call for better education of workers in residential care facilities and healthcare about the needs of people with disabilities. And that's the news for this week.
Do no business until you check his and if all else fail, I just hope that this lit dogs blow smoke through the roof. Everything got a cost. They gon' need something on you.
It's yeah, West Side. That's the only home I know in 85. Me and Uncle Quint used to ride round in the big Bronco. Took me up at Char Disco. Daytime set me down at the bar where I drank Shirley Templeton.
And you are listening to WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM. This is Disability Beat. I'm Vicki Nicewander, and I'm joined today in the studio by my guest, David Northern. David is the executive director of the Housing Authority of Champaign County, and I've been trying to get him here for a few weeks. So I'm really glad you made it today, David.
Yes, I'm excited to be here to share our information with the community.
So why don't you tell a little bit about yourself? I know you're new at the Housing Authority, and then explain to the listeners a little bit about what the Housing Authority is and what they do.
Okay. So, yeah, I'm new here at the Housing Authority. I came in early April. April 1st actually was my start date to replace Ed Bland, who was the department executive director. But I'm not new to the housing industry. I've been in the industry over 24 years. Most recently, I was in Lake County, Illinois for 16 years. Both as the VP and the executive director of the Housing Authority in different stints. So I'm excited to be here down in Champaign. And actually, my wife was born here, so we have a lot of family here already.
Oh,
so
good.
It's kind of coming home in a sense. So.
Well, that's awesome. Yeah. So tell me about the Housing Authority. And I'm sure that there are folks out there who are listening today who are involved in the disability world and maybe don't even know why they should know about the Housing Authority.
Well, first I'm going to start by saying the Housing Authority of Champaign County is a move to work agency, which is one special designation that HUD allow only 39 housing authorities throughout the nation. It's a really special opportunity where housing authorities can take local policy and local needs and create programs without following the top-down approach that most of the 4,500 housing authorities have to follow. Mm-hmm. Only in Illinois we have two, Chicago and Champaign County, so it's a very unique program. Wisconsin or Indiana has zero housing authorities, that's MTW. So that's one thing that's very important that we have that designation. That allows us to specialize activities toward our population that's in need. We call them MTW activities.
Okay. And let's come back to that. Because I think people would want more information about that. But okay. Is there anything else about the agency itself and what it does that people need to know? Or should we just talk about the programs that we discussed beforehand?
Well, it's a few things that we do that's very, important. You know, one, we service close to 2,000 households in Champaign County area.
Wow.
Through our voucher program and units that we own and operate. Most of the units that we have now are public-private partnerships, mm-hmm. Where you have to utilize those funds in order to develop new housing throughout the county. We have a voucher program, and we have a program where we house a number of seniors or people with disabilities also.
Okay, so for people who don't understand what the voucher program is, how does that work for a person?
So a person applies for our voucher program, and then they get accepted, and they go out and find a landlord who's willing to lease to them. Now, the landlord and the tenant has to sign a lease. The landlord and the housing authority signs a contract, and housing authority and the tenant signs a contract. So each party have their own different contracts to operate. And so instead of us owning property, we just pay a portion of the individual's rent so they can be subsidized and live comfortably on affordable housing.
So the person that is the recipient of the housing voucher pays a portion of the rent and the rest of it comes from the federal government? Is that the way it works?
Yes, okay. We're 100% funded through the federal government other than monies that we own, that we gain from developing properties. Sometimes we make money for management fees or fees associated with development, things like that. Other than that, all our money comes from the federal government.
Okay, we talked a little bit about the program, about a new $100 million development that you're doing. Sounds pretty exciting.
Yeah, so I'm excited about this. This is one thing that's very important to the community overall. And so we're in a process over the next few years to develop over $100 million of new affordable housing in Champaign County and outside of Champaign County. Two developments are getting ready to break ground now. One is the Bristol Place development and a Haven at Marketplace, which is two exciting programs that would be two exciting developments that will be in Champaign. Mm-hmm. One of those developments, the Haven at Marketplace, it has 24 units of special needs housing.
And out of how many units total?
The Haven overall has 98 units of senior housing, and we look at seniors 55 and up, and 24 units set aside for special needs.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll have services, and we call it the flat, so it won't be in a apartment setting. It'll be their own individual units.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And when do you expect that one to open? Is just started under construction?
Well, we haven't even broken ground. We're breaking ground on that one. That one would be located right next to Super Walmart, so that's a great location.
Mm-hmm.
But we're breaking ground on that on December 14th.
Okay.
So we're getting ready to start that construction and underway. So in about a year, we'll be looking at starting a house, individuals there.
Yeah, great. Yeah. And how about the other one then?
Bristol, actually, Bristol Places in Champaign. Actually, if you look at on Market Street, where it's a big open spot right next to the railroad tracks behind a Family
mm-hmm.
Dollar,
mm-hmm.
That's a development partnership, a public-private partnership, where the Housing Authority, the city, and a private developer got together to develop a number of units there also. We're breaking ground for that development November 30th, and that's exciting because it'll be two phases. The first phase of that development would be 90 units of assisted housing, 64 single-family homes, and the rest would be townhomes. The second phase is 90 units of senior housing. And in all our housing that we create, a percentage is set aside for persons with disability, and also a percentage is set aside that's adaptable so that individuals can still live there.
And so how does somebody qualify for a housing voucher? And do they apply directly for these different living situations, or can they just apply as an individual and then eventually get placed there when it's built?
So for each property that we own and each property that we manage, we have project waiting lists.
Mm-hmm.
So that waiting list will be with that property. So you can apply specifically for that property when it's open. Right. And as far as the voucher program, you apply to one list and your name gets pulled and you can be a part of that program. Some of the units that we own and operate and manage, we have project based vouchers in them, which means the vouchers not with the tenant, but it's with the property. So individuals can move in and out of that apartment that's subsidized, that may be a public private partnership. A lot of other times, it's the other funds that come into that development is tax credits, low-income housing tax credits that usually come from IDA.
Mm-hmm. IDA is...
Yes, the Illinois Housing Development Authority. We talked earlier about acronyms.
Yeah, I know. You've got your own world there. Yeah, so, yeah. So does the disability world, yeah. So it's okay.
But it's exciting. You know, I mean, it's exciting. We have two waiting lists that's open right now. Actually, we have a waiting list open for Steer Place. It's 108 units in Urbana. It's traditional housing for 55 and up. And it's at 1202 East Harding Street in mm-hmm. Urbana. So we have some vacancies there, and we're looking for individuals that's in need of housing to apply for that list.
That's ready to be moved into at this moment.
Exactly. You can apply on our website, or you can come into the office if you have trouble utilizing a computer or a person with disabilities. Our waiting list will be open from the 16th to the 30th of November. Mm-hmm. We just opened it this past Friday, so we're excited that that's open. We put a lot of information out into the community. And also our mainstream vouchers. We just received the allotment of mainstream vouchers from the Department of Housing and Urban Development, equated to 28 households. And that's a special allotment because those vouchers are set to service individuals with disabilities. Mm-hmm. That's 62 and under. Well, under 62, right? And so that's set aside, specialized. We're opening that waiting list. That waiting list is on our website also, and it's that same date from 16th to the 30th. We're looking to get people in. That was a great decision the Housing Authority made to apply for those vouchers. One, you know, that population needs help. We all understand that.
Absolutely.
And then two, that brings another $200,000 a year of subsidies and help for individuals in this community and 28 families that it intend to house. So I'm excited about that. And our board was excited that we received that allotment of vouchers. And I know the community is excited about it.
Yeah, I'm excited hearing about it. So When people get drawn off that wait list, then they can use that voucher anywhere they want to?
Yes, they can go and find a unit anywhere that they would like to have to stay in Champaign County.
Mm-hmm.
So as I mentioned earlier, we are MTW, a move to work program. So individuals that's non-disabled and non-elderly, which we look at non-elderly as 55 and up. We start elderly at 55. They have work requirements. So they mm-hmm. have to work or be in school to obtain work. And then it's an 8-year time term limit on their housing, right? So they have 8 years to become self-sufficient.
Mm-hmm.
And so individuals with disabilities and individuals as seniors are exempt from that. So these vouchers are totally out that stream. Even if somebody these vouchers are set aside for individuals with disabilities. But if they have a household member that may not have a disability, these vouchers are not part of our MTW program. And so that requirement for that family would not have to be instituted.
Okay, very interesting. And then we also have, you talked about Skeleton Place, Bristol Place.
Well,
or is there more on that?
So yeah, we have a whole lot of properties that we're working on. Bristol is the property that we're working on in Champaign, along with The Haven, right? And so Bristol, like I mentioned earlier, we're breaking ground November 30th on that property.
Right.
But we did sell Skelton, right? So we sold Skelton it was in a college town area. We sold Skelton for $5 million. And we're in the process of redeveloping Haven. Haven is our replacement property for Skelton.
I see.
So that's what we deal with.
All right.
And so a number of properties we're also developing is outside the county. And some people wonder, like, why are you doing senior or person with disabilities outside the county? We're working in Henry, Illinois. We're working in Ladd, Illinois, and Monticello, and some other places that we're looking at. Well, as everybody know, the amount of money that's coming from the federal government to provide decent, safe, and sanitary housing for seniors, persons of low income, and individuals with disabilities are very short. The country,
right.
We need to find ways to create income, and utilizing our not-for-profits as developers, we can go out, develop property where we add more resources, and we get developer fees. So that developer fees go back to our programs to help benefit the people here in Champaign County. And when we develop those properties, we manage them, so we get a management fee also. So everything we do as an organization is for the people of Champaign County. However, we in order to continually serve at the level that we serve now or increase that, we have to have other ways of income. We can't depend wholeheartedly on the federal government for all our
none funds. Of us can,
yes,
can we?
That's right. You know, and just while we're on that note, Pinewood Place is another development that we're doing in Urbana, and that's another set aside for special needs, people with disabilities. It's 24 units. That's a $4.2 million development. And we recently received $2.4 million allotment from the Illinois Housing Development Authority for that property. So, I mean, we're working really hard and we're bringing those resources to this community for the individuals that we serve. I wish we can serve every person in this community with some type of resource they need, whether it was homeless, person with disabilities, seniors, or just regular low-income families. However, we know that's not feasible. And so we're trying to do our best to reach as many people or have partners, right? As I mentioned earlier, the public-private partnerships. When we go into deals like that, and we bring those resources, but we use a lot less federal dollars or tax dollars in doing those developments, which allows us to utilize those funds in other ways.
Yeah, well, it's very exciting because I know just the fact that all these waiting lists are open right now, because I know that that doesn't happen very often. If you are listening and you are interested in, you know, learning more about housing, might be a good idea to give the Housing Authority a call and find out what your next step might be.
Yeah, and another thing that's exciting, with the newness we have at the Housing Authority, we're really making an effort to reach out to more individuals, right? So we have a great website where you can go to our website. It's www.hacc.net and find out a host of information about our waiting lists, job opportunities, all the properties that we manage, and our specialized programs. But we're also on Facebook. We're on Twitter. We're on Instagram. We on YouTube. We have a YouTube channel, right?
Seriously? So
that's we're
cool.
Really trying to reach every aspect of the community. We know social media and different medias are out now, and we're really reaching out because our message needs to be spread, and individuals that need help need to understand where we are, who we are, and what we can do in order to help them.
Mm-hmm. Great. So I have a note here on Youth Build Construction Trades Program. What's that all about?
Yeah. As I mentioned earlier, we have close to $100 million of development coming to fruition in the next year or so. And so Youth Build is a grant that we apply for with community partners. It's a $1.2 million grant. And what that grant does is work with individuals that are 16 to 24 that may have obstacles to overcome, dropped out of school, had a baby and didn't graduate, was incarcerated or something, that want to move into a work environment. So it's a pre-apprenticeship program. The funds come from the Department of Labor. And the main goal of it is to work with and get into the apprenticeship programs with the unions. Mm. We've been at the table with the unions. I've had some great relationships around improving the level of diversity along with getting these young people in the union. I think it's a win-win situation, right? We have people that need jobs and need this trade, and the union have spots that they need to fill. With the market going great, it's hard to even find union representatives from some of the union projects. But with what we're doing in terms of construction, where we're working hands-on with the developers and the general contractors, this is a great opportunity to ensure that individuals within our community are educated, are trained, and get some of the monies that's coming through for our work. So we're excited about that grant application. Our staff and community partners got together, and we applied for that. In January, we'll know if we got it. And once we get it, we'll send a notice out to the community again to sit down and discuss how we can work together to make this grow.
Yeah, well, if you get it, you have to come back on the show and tell everybody and inform the community. Yeah. So that sounds like an exciting proposition. You know, I've been on a school board before, and they're dropping trades programs in the public schools. Yeah. They're just not opportunities for those kids who really like to work with their hands.
Yeah, I was a school board member also, and and running a housing authority, I put a partnership together with the Housing Authority in Lake County and the trades program there, where we donated a house and allowed the kids to work for two semesters on this house because the school just didn't have the funds for it, right?
Right.
And so it was a win-win situation for us. We got to work, and the kids got to see, the end day result of the work that they put in, and they was able to learn. So that's just totally on my heart to do, ensuring that we reach out to our young people, because the future depends on our young people. Right now, we're dealing with so many issues around the world, but also in Champaign, and some of it's with the young people. And we just got to show them that we care, and we provide opportunities for them to be successful into the future.
Yeah, absolutely. So Now, I have a note here about mainstream vouchers, 811. Can you explain what an 811 voucher is as opposed to other kinds of vouchers?
So it's a number of vouchers Department of Housing and Urban Development have. The generic name is Section 8, right? And that comes from the section of policy it was created. In public housing, traditionally, that's Section 9. So the vouchers, in a sense, the real name is Housing Choice Voucher. And so a tenant-based voucher is that voucher where the tenant owns it and they can go out and find a unit in the market with a landlord. They can lease that unit and we'll pay a portion of the rent and the tenant pays another portion.
And if they decide they want to move, they can move and take their voucher with them.
Yeah, but they have a lease. They have to follow guidelines of the lease and the agreements that they have with us. And then I mentioned earlier project-based vouchers, and that's when we decide to either work with a developer or develop ourselves and put a voucher on that unit to ensure that everybody that live in that unit will be subsidized. And when a person leave, if we have available vouchers, we can give them one, but that voucher stays with that unit. So anybody that live there is subsidized. And that's a way that we can guarantee and build affordable housing in our communities because it's guaranteed income. Somebody's living in that unit.
You know, I think public housing has gotten a bad rap over the years. Yes. How is it different now? I think it is very different now.
Well, one thing, and this just is a title, but most of the housing authorities' executive directors are now called CEOs, and that's my title, CEO and executive director, and that's because it takes a different skill set to operate in the housing industry today. You have to be entrepreneurs in a sense. You have to go out and find ways to create income and find creative programs to serve the needs of your communities. It's not, you know, enough just to sit at a desk and house people and look at the bricks and mortars. You got to have the wraparound services that really help people. And I don't want to recreate the wheel and do them. However, I can reach out and partner with individuals that's already doing. We already have individuals in this community that deal with persons with disabilities. So allow us to build a property and we partner with them and they can come in and service those individuals. And so that's how different housing authorities are now. Also, the HUD's no longer funding housing authorities to develop new housing. Right. So if we want to develop housing, the only way to develop it is low income tax credits and public private partnerships or regular bank loans. That's the only way we can do it now.
No, it sounds like you're working hard to do it all.
Yes.
The folks in Champaign County ought to appreciate that. Definitely. Why don't you give a little bit of information? You're moving to a different building.
Yes, people
need to know how to get to you.
Yeah. So we're coming out with a assortment of information about our move, but currently we're set to move at the beginning of this year. We're moving from our current location, which is on Park Street, into 2008 North Market Street, and that's off close to Bristol and close to the mall area. It was an old doctor's office that we looked at our needs as an organization. As we grow as an organization, we looked at the needs we have, and then we looked at the needs that some of our residents had in terms of having a computer lab access. The building we're in now wasn't really conducive to what we're doing as an organization. And so this was a great find. We're adding a community room to it. And I mentioned earlier, we have two developments, over 200 units coming to you know, that area in within the next year or so. And then after that, another 90. So we're right in the midst of where our clients are so they can reach us and get to us in an easy way.
That sounds great. Yeah. So thank you so much for joining me today. I really appreciate having you here. David Northern, CEO and Executive Director for the Housing Authority of Champaign County. Thanks so much, David.
Thank you, too.
This and other episodes of Disability Beat are available at weft.org/publicaffairs/disabilitybeat. For updates and information, join our Facebook page at Disability Beat Radio. To share ideas for guests or topics, email Vicki at disabilitybeat@gmail.com. Thanks for tuning in and have a great rest of your week. And I'll keep this world from dragging me down. Gonna stand my ground, and I won't back down. Hey, baby, there ain't no easy way out. Hey, I will stand my ground.
Welcome to Rootstock Radio. Join us as host Teresa Marquez talks to leaders from the good food movement about food, farming, and our global future.